But tonight, this actually, when I'm dealing with this gift of the Spirit, it's actually at the end. You'll see where it ties into the rapture. I do appreciate everybody's prayers. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I don't want to miss the mind of God, but also I know what God's laid on my heart for the church. And I'm going to continue in this study with you. And let's just be sensitive. Amen. You know what I love about church? You can have all different moving. God can touch in so many different areas. I like when He touches the sinner and touches the saint. Amen. I like when He strengthens the body, but also convicts the body. I love it. Amen. Not only is He the doctor, but He's a father. Amen. He'll chasten and heal you in the same service. Ain't that good? Amen. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, as we've already read one time before, this is what it says. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man that can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but in the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word, the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another discerning of spirits. To another diverse kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. You'll know as I'm reading over this that we are once again going to enter into the gifts of the Spirit. And I know maybe some would think, why don't you just cover them in one service? Because we do the church injustice when we do that. I cannot cover 9 gifts of the Spirit in one service. Not properly. Not properly. You've got to deal with them individually. And the first 3 are actually will take a little longer than the rest. And I don't know if God will even let us finish. Maybe I have to condense it. But anyhow, we will now cover the next gift of the Spirit tonight with us in 1 Corinthians 12 and 8. And that is the word of knowledge. Now we would understand in a quick review, we would understand that I've already went over what the gifts of the Spirit are. I went over that there are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and that they are used for the edifying of the church. They are to deal with sinners. They are to deal with those that sit under in the church. It is to edify the saint. It is to deal. It is to convict. It is to encourage. The gifts of the Spirit are to operate in all of these different areas. But one thing we would understand instantly as we move into the gifts of the Spirit again tonight, let me rephrase this and review. There are 2 camps when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit. The first camp you have is cessationists, or those that believe that the gifts are not for today. And then you have those that are continuous, those that believe that the gifts of the Spirit are still in an operation and are still for the church today. We at Abundant Life Tabernacle being a Pentecostal church, we fall in the latter category. We do still believe in the continuation of the gifts. Now, even though, my friend, as I've already mentioned to you before, that there is a lack of the moving of the gifts, and I know there's some and many people, even within the church world, that are afraid or maybe stand back from the gifts and say, maybe I don't want to get in the flesh, but we have to be careful that we're not so afraid of getting in the flesh that we do not completely extinguish the gifts altogether. That's why the Bible says to not quench the Spirit, to despise not prophecies. All of these areas are needed in the body of Christ. And my friend, I've said it before, any time you separate the supernatural from without of our services, we become a religious machine that is doing nothing but working by the efforts of men, and we will not reach the world as we should. If you unplug the supernatural, the divine, the spontaneous, and you take God and you shove His will and you shove His gifts outside of our churches, my friend, you end up becoming a machine that is so mechanical that it cannot sustain life and it cannot edify believers. We've went over already, my friend, the gift of the Word of wisdom was the first gift. We would understand that it is a revelation gift and it allows the functioning of natural abilities. We know that the word of wisdom pretty much takes what we already know, and it allows us to properly format and apply them. And that's when we look at the word of wisdom. Now tonight, as we move into this, we dealt with already what the word of wisdom was. The word of wisdom is not natural, my friend. It's not common or learned. But it's when God takes something that is in your heart or something that's in your spirit that you know that is a truth, and He gives you the ability and the understanding and the word that you can operate within wisdom of the mind of the Spirit. That's what that word of wisdom is. My friend, we must understand tonight when we move into the word of knowledge, we would understand that oftentimes the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge are so close together that, my friend, sometimes we almost like to keep them together, but they are two different gifts when we're dealing with the gifts of the Spirit. And we have to understand how they are different. That word of knowledge, as we look at this tonight, remember, there are three categories. I've already mentioned that, but I do want you to understand there are three categories of gift. But as we look at this tonight, we must understand what the word of knowledge is. The word of knowledge is God imparting a small amount of knowledge into the mind of the heart of a man to where he can operate in something that he never knew before. Wisdom is usually when God gives you the understanding and the wisdom to do something that you already know at times. It's when you already know something and God gives you the wisdom to deal with those things and begins to impart to you the intellect, the ability. But when it comes to the word of knowledge, it is a supernaturally inspired utterance of facts that at times, many times, it's when somebody did not know what the event was before or what was going to take place before. As we look at this tonight, the word of knowledge in the Greek, the meaning there, it means knowing or recognition, the knowledge or understanding of a thing, the insight which manifests itself through understanding of subjects. And we must understand today when we look at this that the word of knowledge is still needed in our churches even as we speak. We still need it in operation tonight, today, and forever. Tonight, my friend, as we plunge into this, I want you to understand we cannot put a price tag on the value of knowledge in our churches. I'm not talking about a textbook knowledge. I'm not talking about math or science or social studies or politics or civil. I'm not talking about none of that. But I'm talking about knowledge from the heavenly. I'm talking about that supernatural utterance that can only come from God above. Isn't it amazing? If you've ever been underneath the inspiration of those gifts or know those things, there's been times I stood behind even this pulpit and I felt heaven showing me things, and I said something and didn't even know I said it, but somebody later on would say, "You said something that spoke to right where I was," and little did I know God was using us in that at that time. That is the beauty of the gift of knowledge. We understand when it comes to knowledge, Romans 12 and 2 tells us this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Paul uses two key words in Scripture here. He says transformed and renewing. He says transformed and renewing. That word transformed, when it comes to our mind, is the Greek word metamorphio, meaning literally to transfigure. And we can understand the power of a transfigured mind, or we can understand the power of a transformed mind when we even take in the mindset of a caterpillar. Anybody know what a caterpillar is? Amen. We know that little squishy creature walking around, and you'll see him just going there and going there. But you know, matter of fact, until you learn this, any time that I looked at a butterfly, I didn't look at that butterfly and say, "That used to be a caterpillar." Somebody had to tell me that, because that butterfly was completely opposite of what that caterpillar was from before. That caterpillar was one that had to eat the dirt of the ground. He was slow. He was not agile. He did not have wings. He was far from being pretty. But my friend, we know the process of a metamorphosis. When that caterpillar goes in that cocoon and basically dies, and then he comes out and all of a sudden he is a butterfly, my friend. He comes out like the monarch butterfly, beautiful wings flying around. And my friend, pictures and photographers and even organizations and businesses have used that beautiful butterfly as a symbol as their business, because it is something that is so unique. But that's what Paul is saying here. He's saying not to be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. Let your mind be transfigured. Let it be metamorphosed. Let your mind be transfigured, metamorphosed to the place that what your mind was before you got saved. saved. When you get saved, all of a sudden your mind is not dirty nor vile like it used to be. But my friend, we have a new picture of the mind of the believer. It is one that is renewed. It's one that is afresh. Then the second thing he said is this. He says, by the be you transformed. But he says this, by the renewing of your mind. That word, that meaning of that word renew, that means a renovation or a complete remaking. How it is complete, remodeled, or completed is the idea. It is through the knowledge of God's Word. That's what I'm trying to get to. It is through the knowledge of God's Word that this is how this takes place in the mind of a believer. It's when your mind is renewed and transfigured by His Word. It's when the knowledge of Scripture, the knowledge of God, and the wisdom of God is imparted to the church, be it through preaching or teaching or utterances or tongues and interpretations, and you hear the knowledge of heaven. My friend, it's through the knowledge of that Word that we are transformed and transfigured in our mind. That is something that we must understand. And this is what we also must understand when it comes to this word knowledge. Paul used the word knowledge 35 times in his epistles. He had a purpose and a reason for using that word knowledge. And my friend, not counting the book of Hebrews, who we do not know who wrote that, just there's much debate about it, but we know 36 times if we count there in the book of Hebrews. But we know that he used it in such a way that shows us that knowledge was a key to knowing and being like Jesus Christ. Tonight, my friend, in this service, if you do not have knowledge of who He is, if you do not know His Word, you cannot know Jesus. You've got to know Him and encounter Him through the Spirit and through His Word. And that's how we become more like Jesus. It's when we become more like the Word of God. That's how you become like Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1:5 says this, that everything that you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:13 says this, till we all come into the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Jesus. Philippians 1:9 says this, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Philippians 3:8 says this, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered all loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Colossians 1 says this, for this cause also, since today we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. I could read verse after verse after verse in the New Testament. You've got to have knowledge of Jesus if you're going to become like Jesus. You've got to have knowledge of the Spirit and the things of God if you're going to do something and do the will of God. We've got to understand this today, my friend. It says this in Colossians 3:10, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Amen. That was a lot at one time, wasn't it? I'm tired. What I want you to understand, that was the introduction, is this. You've got to have knowledge about Jesus. We need heaven's knowledge in this room. We do not deal on earthly knowledge. Our earthly knowledge is good. It'll get you far in this world. You know, there's some people out there that knows everything about this and everything about that. But how much do you know about the things of God? It's good. We have to understand this. So as we look quickly at this, at some of the ways that knowledge enriches us and strengthens us, we can read so many different verses tonight. It says this in Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. And there's so many different things we can understand tonight, but this is one thing we must understand. The word of knowledge, as you look at that word there in the Bible, when it says the word of knowledge, that idea, that phrase, the word there, is that same word that I mentioned before. It's that word logos. It means an inspiration. It means that divine word is what it means. And that word knowledge, as we talked about, is when God shines forth inside of us. But then we get into the idea of the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, the word of knowledge. And that word manifestation means this. It means a shining forth. So what I want you to understand without confusing you tonight is this. When we say the gift of the word of knowledge, it's when heaven allows us to see something. It's like a light that is shining. It's like we're looking at something that we did not know before. And as we see that light that God allows us to see, we can recognize something that we never knew before. And as we go into this, my friend, I'm going to give you some Old Testament examples, and then we'll move into the New Testament tonight. And so many different areas in the Bible that we can talk about. But when I begin studying for this, my mind, talking about in the Old Testament, you'll find at times, even in the Old Testament, even though it was not labeled a gift of the Spirit, we do see the Spirit of God using this gift or using this idea of knowledge throughout the Old Testament Scripture. We come to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 23, and if you're familiar with that setting of that story, we know that David and his men, I think it was 600 men, they were in a town called Keilah. It's spelled K-E-I-L-A-H. You take a shot at it yourself. He was in this town called Keilah, and all of a sudden David got knowledge, or David began to understand that Saul was about to come to that city, and Saul was going to take out David and all of his men. And all of a sudden, this is what David said. Then said David, when he's talking to God, he's looking to heaven. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And instantly what David did, he got his men and they got outside of that city. And this is a picture of the word of knowledge, my friend, because here it is, David is sitting in a vulnerable place. He's sitting there where all of a sudden Saul could come there, and these men, into the men of the city, their intention was to deliver him up and have him destroyed. But because David prayed to heaven, God began to shine that light for a few moments, and David began to understand that they were in danger and were able to get out of that. My friend, how important is the word of knowledge when it comes to life and death situations? Would it not be again, once again, could the church pray to heaven and say something like this? Lord, you know what's about to happen in this world. You know what's about to take place. Can you give us knowledge on things that we should do and decisions that we should make? The word of knowledge seems more important as I study this. We read in the Old Testament a man by the name of Gehazi. That's what I call him, Elisha's servant. We know the story of Elisha and Naaman. And we know the story that Naaman had leprosy. He came to Elisha. And there he told Elisha, you know, go to the water, go to Jordan, I believe it was, and wash and be clean, dip seven times, maybe it was. My mind will mess stories up, so forgive me if I do. Amen. But we know that he did that. But we know the story. And we know that Naaman offered Elisha gifts. And there he told them, he said, I'll give you this. And Elisha would not accept no gifts from him. But we know that Elisha's servant Gehazi had a complete different thought in mind. I just picture Gehazi sitting there and thinking to myself, Elisha, he's probably thinking to his mind, he's probably saying, Elisha, here it is, this man's offered you money. I mean, you're an old, dirty prophet that's just barely making it by at times. You don't have money. You got to depend on widows sometimes. Here it is. Gehazi's probably thinking in his mind, I wish he would take that money and take those gifts. And the Bible tells us the story as Gehazi went after Naaman and his men. And we know that Naaman turned around and gave him some money and gave him some clothing. And then we know Gehazi came back unto Elisha, and this is what the Bible said. And he said unto him, hey, we know that Elisha said unto Gehazi, where have you been? And Gehazi pretty much said, nowhere, just not doing too much. And this is what Elisha said unto him. He said unto him, went not my heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? It's almost like Elisha was with him. He was saying, Elisha, I seen Naaman riding on that chariot. And I seen him turn around to meet you. I bet Gehazi's thinking to himself, what in the world? Here it is. It's almost like he's got a play-by-play in his mind of what happened. And he said, this isn't time to receive money and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants. And we know the story. He said the leprosy that was upon Naaman is now going to be upon you. There is another picture of the gift of the word of knowledge. It wasn't that Elisha followed him the whole way. But what it was, that knowledge was imparted to Elisha because he was a man of God. And then, my friend, we can even talk about Elisha's awareness of the strategy of the Syrian army. But, my friend, there's also some other areas we can identify as this. Have you ever wondered, how did Moses write Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? And he wasn't even there. Think about it. In the beginning, God, how do you know Moses? God told me. Joseph. All these different things as we look at this tonight, my friend, we know this, that Moses' revelation of creation and of his aftermath, my friend, had to be a divine knowledge from heaven. And the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 34:10, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. So we do understand this tonight, that even in the Old Testament, we have the operation of knowledge from heaven there. But as we move into the New Testament, my friend, we find even better looking pictures as we work ourselves up to the church age that we live in. We would read in the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 26, there was a man by the name of Simeon, and he was in the temple, and this is what the Bible says, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. We got an old man by the name of Simeon. He's sitting in the temple every single day. All of a sudden he's probably thinking one day, I know I'm going to get older, I know I'm going to die. And the Holy Ghost says this to him, you're not going anywhere, Simeon, until you witness the Messiah. Phew. What a good insurance policy. Amen. He's sitting there. He's saying this. He's got a word from heaven of knowledge. Instantly, if you were Simeon, what would you think? Number one, I think, I'm pretty old. He's going to be coming sometime. I get to see Jesus. All these different things are going through Simeon's mind because he had a word of knowledge. And my friend, I don't know who he told. Maybe he told Anna there. I don't know who he told. But I do know this. He had a word of knowledge from heaven, and he was sitting there. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. My friends, once again, could it be something today? What if God gave you a word of knowledge right now? Would you be patient enough and faithful enough to wait for its fulfillment? Think about it. What if in this service God gives you a word of knowledge, say, this is going to happen. And you've got to wait for it, and you've got to be faithful. You're going to see it happen. That's what Simeon did, and the Bible lets us know that he did witness this. We could talk about in the Bible, in the book of John chapter 1, about Jesus knowing Nathanael. Nathanael said unto him, we know he came, and Jesus recognized him as Nathanael, an Israelite, a man without guile. And Nathanael said this, whence knowest thou? How'd you know me? He said, even before Philip came, got you. Before he even came, got you. It wasn't Philip. Who was it? It was Philip. Even before Philip called you, I seen you sitting underneath that tree. A word of knowledge. We could go on, my friend, talk about the woman at the well. And at the end of the discourse and all this, she said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? We could talk about Peter and his awareness of Ananias' deception. We could talk about another unique instance in Acts chapter 27. We have here, we know that Paul and them are on that voyage. And all of a sudden, one day, Paul is saying this in Acts 27:10. He said unto them, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only the landing of the ship, but also of our lives. You may think I'm a little charismatic in this thought, but hear me. I wonder how many tragedies could be prevented if this gift was in operation like it should be. Come on. If not prevented altogether, I wonder how many tragedies could be prepared for. I told you the story before, and it's worth going over again. But in New York City, at Times Square Church, Carter Conlon, he said there for a while, and many of you may remember me mentioning this before. He said there in 2001, he said months before, he said I think he was around August and July. He said he would go to preach at the church, and all of a sudden the Lord would deal with his heart and say, tell your church to pray. And he said it was a unique presence that would come in the room. They would lay there and they would weep and cry. He said sometimes while he was preaching, he said the Lord would interrupt him. He'd begin weeping. He'd have to lay on his face. And he said God kept on doing this week after week. He said they have some services where it wouldn't happen, but God constantly began to deal with them. And all of a sudden on September, he said he felt like God was preparing them for something. He said knew God was showing him in his heart that something was about to happen in New York City that was going to challenge the church. It was going to be something that was different than like they've ever seen before. Then on September 11th, 2001, when the planes hit the World Trade Centers, he said, instantly, he said, everybody was in shock. He said, he walked down to the sanctuary and all the full-time employees were down there crying and weeping and praying. He told them all, get up! They said, get up, we need to pray. He said, no, get up, we need to work. He said, God's been showing us this for 2 months. They made, I forget how many thousand peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Got them in the back of a truck and ran it down to the firemen, to those that were hungry and thirsty. I wonder, church, could there even be national events that will take place in our country? Is the church ready to hear? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. We come to the book of Acts. There's another great example. There's a man by the name of Agabus as well. I call him A-G-A-B-U-S, the prophet. We know in Acts 11 and 27, notice this. It says, in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Caesar. He was saying there was a man that stood up in the church, and he said, this, there's a famine that is coming. And then it says this, it happened. Do you see how the word of knowledge works? It's when a man, a brother, a sister, being used in the gift, could stand up and say, I have knowledge, something is about to happen. Church, I can stand up here today and tell you from what I feel in my spirit, without giving you a direct time or a date, something's about to happen in our world. That's just for looking at the signs of the time. But could it be that heaven wants to get more specific? Could it be? I believe, my friends, sometimes if we're not careful, if you remove the spontaneous inspiration of the Holy Ghost, there's things that heaven's trying to show us even now. But sometimes, let me just put it this way. Do we go through a service without listening? Do you go to your prayer closet? Is your ear tuned to have a word of knowledge? Acts 21 and 10, the same man by the name of Agabus, it says this. It says, and as we tarried there many days, talking about Paul, he says, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus, the same man. But when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his hands and feet and said this, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man to underneath his girdle and shall deliver him to the hands of the Gentiles. And guess what? It happened. Tonight as we look at this, I don't want, there's so many different examples I want to give you, but just a few minutes while your attention's with me. The best way that I can describe the word of knowledge is this way right here. Most of what you know and understand is usually through your five senses. You've either, my friend, through your five senses, you've either seen it, you've either heard it, you've either smelled it, you've tasted it, or you touched it. There ain't too much you can't tell me about a steak that I don't already know. I don't eat them with my hands, but I have touched one before. Oh, I smelled one. I'm looking around. Some of you have too. Not only that, my friends, I've tasted it. Amen. And I can tell you a lot about it. Most of the things that you know about the Word of God, you've heard it. Brother Glenn, or either myself, or some other great minister that's been behind this desk, and I'm not putting myself among the great ones, I'm just saying, you've heard it. And from that hearing came faith and knowledge, and you understand that. There's a lot of things you could tell me, some of you could probably tell me, saying, look, I know what the Niagara Falls looks like because I've seen it. I've been there. I've heard it. I felt it. I smelled the air. I know it because of your five senses. But the gift of the word of knowledge doesn't come from any of those. Isn't it amazing that there's still a gift available to us? You could say, I've never saw it. I never tasted it. I never heard it. I never touched it. I never smelt it. But I know it's going to happen. That's what the gift of the word of knowledge is. There, within the fellowship that that I was raised in, there was a unique event that took place, excuse me, years ago when I was younger. But in this unique event, I'll give you the rundown of the situation and show you how the gift of the word of knowledge came into play. There was two preachers whose wives became unfaithful to them with each other. It was two preacher wives, if I'm not mistaken. Anyhow, it was two women in the church that ended up being lesbians. And nobody knew this. It was a complete mystery. It was a secret.
and nobody knew it, but maybe one or two people, and they were trying to deal with it. But one day a preacher came to that certain area and was preaching. And he said instantly he noticed that the two people that I'm referring to were just so out of order in everything they did. He said it just an eeriness was about them. He said, I didn't have a clue who they were or what was going on. He said during the services, they would interrupt about every service, and the reason being they didn't want to hear no preaching. They just wanted to just completely emotionalize everything and get out of the building. But he said he just could tell something was abnormal going on with them two women. And he said even the one night that the evangelist was there, he was preaching. And he said he felt the Holy Ghost conviction to come in that room. And he said it was so strong that he said everybody looked around. It was like a blanket had settled in the room. People were weeping and moaning and groaning underneath the burden in that room. There was something that was wrong. And the evangelist kept saying this, if you're lost, you need to come to this altar. If you're lukewarm, you need to come. Somebody needs to come to this altar. The minister friend of mine said instantly, he said, without even knowing who they were, he said, I felt a stirring in my heart. He said, I just felt stirred. He said, I wept and cried. He said, and God showed me to who the two women were and what they were doing. He said, instantly as he was sitting there and as this knowledge was coming to him, he said, God spoke to his heart and said, they will not repent. They've caused so much damage to my church. Reveal who they are. And he said, it wasn't even really him. He pointed at one woman as he came across the platform. He said, thou art the woman, and thou art the woman. He said, instantly he felt in the room a breaking, a moving of the Spirit of God, and both of them women would not repent. The brother that I'm talking about said, as he laid there moaning in the floor, he said he heard in his heart, almost like a steel door being slammed. He said he felt like God showed him that these two have dabbled so much and so long, speaking in tongues, doing everything they could. He said that God was about to judge. God judged. Wasn't longer for one of them was eaten up with cancer and died and left this world. I sat down with that other woman and looked in her eyes, and to this day, from my understanding, there's a hollowness there that I've never seen before. But that's what the word of knowledge is. Let me give you an example. When I was raised, and I know I've used this term here before, but I was afraid of a preacher reading my mail. It's just the term we would use. There has been a few times, and I'm not telling you a fib, and I wouldn't. There was a few times I thought the preacher had been talking to my mama and daddy. Amen. Everybody been there? I thought for sure, mama, why in the world are you talking to that preacher? And come to find out later, I remember one time I talked to a preacher. I said, how did you know? He said, I didn't even know I said anything. He said, I know God put something in my heart, and I spoke it. Sister Linda Baltman, one of the greatest women evangelists I've ever met in my life, she was in a pulpit one time, and she said she was a preaching. She said, all of a sudden, God put something in her mind to say. She said, some of you, she said, men, you need to quit sitting at Walmart and looking at women. He said, she thought it was the most random thought, but she said, at the end of that service, she had a married man come up to her and said, who told you that? She said, nobody. He said, I'm going to be honest with you. He said, I park down at the local Walmart and I watch women walking in and out of the stores. That's the word of knowledge. It's when the preacher don't even know that he's being used in it, or the teacher, but he's using it. It could be even tonight when the Lord's talking about the rapture. It could be the word of knowledge. When I said, examine yourself, you knew it was you that God was talking to. And God used it to deal with your heart. That is what the word of knowledge is. So we do understand this tonight. The word of knowledge is imparted through an utterance, and it is a direct, precise knowledge of either the past, the present, or the future. Has God ever used anybody in your life that told you something that happened in your past and God helped you? He has me. Has God ever used anybody in your life that they mentioned something that was happening in the present and God helped you? It happened to me. And could it be that God even said things that are going to happen in the future? It's happened to me before. That's what the gift of the word of knowledge is. I won't be much longer. I know I done spend a little bit of time on this. But God has equipped man to gather facts. But this is a fact. We often need access to something different than what is in this world. We need heaven's knowledge. As we get our mind on this, and in just a few moments, we're going to pray. But I often think about this, and this is my last point. Could it be that God is showing us things that we hadn't even seen yet? Could it be in this service right now? I know that sometimes we'll almost write it off. But could it be that right now God is speaking, but He can't find nobody to hear? I've been putting a challenge forth to this church when I've been teaching on this. I've asked you to seek for the gifts. Have you? Think about it. You say, well, you're just a young preacher. No, that's regardless. Bible says, earnestly, seek for Him. Covet. Have you sought for the gifts? I'm going to be honest with you. Last week, God dealt with me. I had to call in my living room. I had to lay on that couch. And I had to pray because I said, Lord, I didn't seek the gifts the last few days like I've been challenging the church. I want the gifts of the Spirit in my life. The Bible tells us when it comes to Noah in the Bible, we often ask the question, or often think about it, how did Noah know he was supposed to build a boat? How did he know that? It sounds crazy, don't it? It's never rained. It's never rained up to that point, ever. And the Bible says this, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. That's a lot of news to tell a man. The end of all flesh is come from before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Noah, build an ark. Amen. Think about that. What's an ark? We don't go fishing in those days like they do now. He didn't have a chance to go down with Brother Eddie to the shipyard and learn something about submarines. Lord, how are you going to build a boat? You're going to build it just like I tell you to build it, Noah. Here's the measurements. That's a word of knowledge, isn't it? Build you a boat. A big boat. Most likely it was square. You read the word ark. It didn't need a navigation system. All it had to do was float. God was his GPS. Church, I believe just as God told Noah, get ready, judgment's coming. I believe He's speaking to the church. Are you blinded by pleasure where you don't hear it? I hope all your joy ain't in the 401k. I don't know what that is. I hope you have the biggest one in the world. Be fine with me. Use it for the glory of God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. But I hope your confidence isn't there. God is saying, prepare yourself. And I believe, mothers and fathers, hear me. You don't understand how critical the gifts of the Spirit are in your home. Things are trying to be prevented. God could be telling you right now, that show that they're watching right now is going to be a destruction to them. You may think I'm crazy, but that's all right. They thought Jesus was too. I remember years ago when I first got saved in zealousy, I remember walking down to the living room one or two times, seeing my brother and my little sister 3 o'clock in the morning watching TV. Snuck out of bed when mom and dad didn't know it. I'd get out there. I'd still get in bed, boy. Girl, go get in bed. You know, I'm big old hard. I'm mean. Go get in bed. It's silly. Next morning, see my brother again watching TV. Next morning, see it. I mean, I'm talking 3, 4 in the morning, watching it all night, watching things they shouldn't. Mom and Dad didn't know about it. I got a word from heaven. I said, Mama. I said, I'm not against it. And today, if you can control it, that's up to you. But I'm telling you right now, there's things that are taking place in my brother and sister that I'm watching it. I'm telling you, you need to do something and put a restraint on it. And I did that. I didn't rebuke her or nothing, but as a son to a mother, entreating her. And you know what we did? Mama said, well, we'll just get rid of it for a while. Guess what? My sister got born again in the process. Was it the TV? Come on now. That's plastic. And that's a screen. But was it what was coming through there unsupervised? Yes, it was. But a word of knowledge can even prevent things in our family. Stand to your feet. I do trust that maybe this simple message tonight challenged you. And I don't know if God will let us finish them all. But I do know this tonight. We went over the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge. And another way to put it is this, the word of wisdom will help you use the word of knowledge. There's sometimes you have knowledge, and guess what? You're looking at it and you're saying, God, I know this, what do I do? And that other gift of the Spirit of wisdom will come along and say, this is how you apply it. You need all of it, church. I'm going to challenge you like I've done every time with this. This may seem simple. But the beginning of the service, I just felt, you know, as my wife was saying it differently, felt the deal with the coming of the Lord. That's the first aspect of this altar call. He's coming. If you're lost here tonight, you may not feel the conviction like you did maybe 45 minutes ago, but it's still here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Are you ready for the rapture? But number two, saints of God, are you listening? Are you seeking for the gifts of the Spirit? And if we are not seeking for the gifts of the Spirit, we're indifferent to them. And that'll kill our churches. Can we seek for this gift tonight as well with the others? Find you a place to pray. There'll be no music. Just come around these altars. Find you a place to pray tonight. And ask God of the nine gifts. Begin seeking God. Ask God for knowledge tonight in this service. Lord, I would you challenge you. God, reveal the secrets of men's hearts. Inform us of that impending judgment, Lord. Convert the sinner. Recall unto us forgotten knowledge. Remind us. And God, help us tonight understand there's knowledge that's in the Spirit. It's not a knowledge that is learned. It's not inherited through our senses. But God, I would that these saints, God, as they go home and they're praying in their closet, I would you begin to speak to them, challenge them, encourage them, and let them feel the gift. Let them feel that motivation to seek for the things of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah.